Again, welcome back. This is We Watch Stuff number 132. No, you did not miss an episode. I just messed up last week. So, how's everyone doing? I'm Jeremy. Joining me, as always, is Shahid. What is going on, man?
I am doing fine. Enjoyed my birthday week last week.
Yep.
Enjoying relaxing this week. Actually went a chance to see a movie that wasn't Black Panther. And just enjoying life. So...
Yes, for those who don't know, we both share the same birthday, and we also share it with another person, Steve, and I'm not going to say his last name, and I just realized I never said happy birthday to him because he's no longer on Facebook, so...
Yes, he dips in to do wrestling-related stuff and then dips right out.
Yeah.
So if you don't see him on Twitter, you will not see him.
Yeah, and Twitter's not my thing, so... So, Steve, if you listen, happy birthday, belated as it is. So, we started doing this off the air and then realized, what are we doing? So, I did not see this. You're filling me in. So, Fox officially made a bid for WWE's TV?
Fox Sports is the rumor. Because two executives from Fox and Colin Cowherd was at Raw on Monday. I was wondering because I saw the picture with Cowherd and Charlotte and Natty. Not Raw, I think SmackDown. They were all there,
yes.
Tuesday because in Los Angeles. And I was wondering why he was there. So, first time on SmackDown, yada, yada, yada. And then today I saw the thing about the rumor they offered what they offer for Raw.
Now, what's funny is, all right, first we'll go with the Colin Cowherd thing. That dude has done nothing but bag wrestling. I believe, if memory serves me right, he was actually making fun of Eddie Guerrero dying.
Yes.
So, I'm very curious how that went over backstage, especially with Aiden English being married to his daughter, or
yes.
Engaged, one of the two.
No, they're married.
Okay, so regardless, yeah, that'd be very hard to be polite, even in a business environment.
I'm thinking it's one of those, don't mess with the money. So,
I guess. Rich.
I mean, people, like, wrestling's a weird thing where you can work with some, you can be tag team partner with somebody that you hate, and you just make it work somehow, because, like, it's like a bad marriage. So, it's just, I know there's talk about, like, Facebook had thought about offering us some money, and it definitely helps as far as, like, you know, like before when they had their last thing, it was like, it's USA or nobody else, and this time it's kind of got to have options, so that's definitely something new. I'm kind of curious to see how much money they get. I'm wondering how UFC looks at that. Like, you know, because like UFC, when I think of UFC on TV, I think of Fox Sports. And UFC and WWE's kind of had like a antagonist, like frosty, chilly relationship at best and antagonistic at worst, even though, like, you know, they've kind of worked together with the whole Brock Lesnar thing. It just still seems weird. Your network that has one show basically push you out the way to sign somebody else.
Yeah.
Got to kind of like feel a certain way.
Well, so you said it was just for Monday Night Raw. It wasn't for SmackDown.
No, it was just for Raw. Which would kind of screw SmackDown because USA got them because, like, okay, we'll get you, so we have all of them.
They were always owned by the same parent company, so.
Yeah, but it was different when it was like, you know, even if it's the same parent company, if you're not the same network, you get treated different. Like BET, VH1, and MTV are owned by the same parent company. They get treated completely different ways, like all three of them. So, like, SmackDown on Sci-Fi looked a lot more forgettable than SmackDown on USA, even though they're owned by the same people. Like, it was, once they moved to USA, it was, you could tell, like, different. And then the fact they went live and they made it more of a, like, importance. Because it's like, you know, USA is our flagship network on cable. SmackDown by itself with no Raw is like, it just, I don't know. I wonder if I'm USA, am I really in a rush to, like, be high priority or, like, you know, sure, Randy Orton can guest star on an episode of Shooter. Like,
yeah.
does that happen anymore when, like, Raw bounces? Because Raw's still the flagship show.
And what's funny, it's, you also wonder, because that's still, like, SmackDown's probably, what, their second highest rated show?
Mm-hmm.
And you wonder, like, what does USA value that at? Like, is it... Because, you know, it's the old adage that they've said before that, you know, wrestling brings in their audience, but they don't stick around and go to anything else. And I don't know numbers. I mean, it's actually gotten harder. You think with the information age, or I don't even know, are we the information age? But with how you can so easily get information to be, it seems like it's harder to get ratings for stuff now, for whatever reason.
Because it's not as important. Because, yeah. Like, the funny thing about ratings, and we talked about with the whole football, besides basketball, everything's gone down rating-wise. Mm-hmm. Like basketball and cable news have gone up, and everything else has kind of dropped. So ratings aren't, you know, they're judged differently, especially if you watch online or DVR and everything like that. So it's just weird saying, like, what's considered, I guess, as long as you're on TV providing something weekly, that's considered successful, like Law and Order SVU. Like, I'm amazed that it's still on, it still have new episodes, and it's still a thing. It's like, you know, it's because you would think at that point it's not cheap anymore to have that show, because those people like Mariska Hargitay must be making, what, $15, $17 million a damn year doing that show. It's not like when it first came on, they making chump chains, but, you know, but it's like, we know we'll get a certain amount of ratings. We'll get a certain amount of people watching this, so it's comfortable having that. Wrestling was the same thing. That's why people, even though people wouldn't watch other shows, you know you could still get this. It's something to brag about. We had the number one watched cable show on TV. It's still a thing to brag about, even though it's like, you know, people that watch Raw is not going to stick around to watch Chrisley Knows Best or Suits.
Yeah, and I'm okay with no one watching Chrisley Knows Best, because, anyways, so what was the offer? You said $250 million. Is that a year, or is that rights overall?
That's probably rights overall.
I wonder if they, I not prepared for numbers talk on this, but their deal was considerably less than people thought it would be last time. But it, I thought it was still ranked. Did it pull similar money?
It was.
And this was less than one show.
It was less than what they thought it was going to be, but they still end up doing relatively well. Because it's all, like, based on scale. Like, it's funny, depending on how you look at WWE, in some cases, it's considered kind of, like, behind the times. And some, in other cases, it's, like, groundbreaking. Like, they kind of, like, did this whole network streaming thing and did it better than almost everybody else. Mm-hmm. They, you know, it's kind of, like, depending on how you, and they don't have, like, business issues. Like, they, all the gloom and doom people tend to talk, they make money. Like, they had one of their highest, like, rating, like, you know, business-wise, one of their best years ever, like, last year. Like, money is not an issue for them, and it probably won't be. Like, they kind of, like, navigated how to handle this whole changing thing. So it's just a weird scenario. Even cutting out the pay-per-view money they used to get, that's not a thing anymore. So if they get more now than they did before, considering, like, a lot of companies and a lot of people kind of like, I don't know, I can't pay you what I paid 5 years ago, everybody making money, because people aren't watching TV as much. So normally people are getting less from what they were getting before. And it's kind of like, and ESPN kind of got bit in the ass where they paid all this money to people to get all these networks, and then people start cutting the cord for cable, so they're getting less money. So it's like, yeah, we brought three new houses, and now we can't afford them anymore.
And the funny thing is, to go along with the TV going down, this was Walking Dead's, they came back Saturday. This was their lowest rated season, like mid-season premiere they've ever had. And it's still, I think, the most watched show on TV when, you know, Game of Thrones isn't involved. Mm-hmm. So because Elise actually said something to me. She goes, does anybody you know still watch Walking Dead? And I'm like, yeah, some people do. And she, and to tie Kevin into this too, he hadn't watched the season, the mid-season finale, and he didn't know any spoilers. And I was like, how the hell have you not found anything about this? But people aren't talking about it. And it's kind of the same thing with, like, WWE programming. Unless it's something huge, no one really says anything about it. And
but when they say something about it, everybody hears about it.
Yeah.
Like the funny, like that's the funny thing. It's kind of like the Ronda Rousey thing. I heard that from, you saw that everywhere.
Yes.
And like when you see something, like it's funny where depending on where you look, because it's not just like the whole ESPN thing. Like Deadspin talks about like wrestling more and WWE more all the time. So when something big and something funny happens, I'll see it on the internet. And yeah. I might catch on ESPN. But beyond that, it's kind of like if you aren't looking for it, 90% of the time, you won't, you know, you won't see anything. But when it's something big, then yeah, you see it all the time. And then it's the whole thing's like, is WWE successful? It's like, yeah, like wrestling overall is successful. People just don't think it is. Like, they say indies are doing better than what they are. New Japan is doing a lot. Like, New Japan is doing a lot better than what they were doing before the streaming. Like, they were saying they got, you know, a whole bunch of new signings. When Jericho had his match about Kenny Omega.
Yeah,
like,
60% it's so, it's, went up. 60% overall, 80% of that is from North America.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it's just the whole thing is kind of like you in a place now where... It's funny, people still have the same old attitudes about wrestling, and I don't think it's this, like, wrestling's not this nerdy thing that's, like, you a guy on the couch watching. Like, everybody, like, it's not a, everybody watches wrestling. Like, famous people go watch wrestling, and it's not, like, a funny thing. It's just, oh, yeah, I watch wrestling, I like wrestling. You know, it's not that thing like it used to be, but people still act like it's that thing like it used to be.
Yeah, and I think You know, Vince McMahon's always been going to get away from that. It's a you know, a little medium of success, to be honest. But I can understand why, just for what you said. Like, you still hear, and it's always, whenever somebody says, well, these are just people in the basement talking, it was like, ugh. Well, you immediately lost whatever argument you're trying to get through as soon as you bring that up. And that's because that's really not who it is. But then Kevin's going to NXT tomorrow. I just went to that Ring of Honor show where everything I just said kind of gets thrown out the window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
it's the same. Yeah. I mean, the funny thing is, it's the same thing with comics and comic
yes.
movies where it's like, it's a cool thing, but the internet chatter is still dominated by that same old crowd. And
yeah.
Now it's kind of like they had the mic now, so this just, it just like, they're the loud minority. And everyone hears them, so everyone assumes that that's how it is. It's like, no, it's not like that. But it's like you fight a losing battle. You want to say, no, you guys wrestling really cool. And then you go see Russ, like you go to an NXT show, and it's like 98% dudes. And they all look a certain way, and they're all acting a certain way. Like the stereotypes that we say don't exist, exist there. So somebody saw that. It's like, how could I tell them that's not how it really is if that's what they're saying?
Well, and that's the thing is, when someone says I'm going to wrestling, okay, you know what? I've never gotten a chance to share this story. So, a few weeks ago, we're all out, and NXT was actually back again here. It was at the Grady Cole Center, and I don't, Elise doesn't want to go to those. She goes, but you know when you drag someone to something, and they're like sitting there, like, yeah, I'm like, you having a good time? Yeah, I'm having a good time. Okay, you're clearly not. I understand that. So I got my buddy Frazier here. We always go to wrestling. He couldn't go, so I just didn't go. Well, it turns out some of the guys from the gym actually went to it. None of them were wrestling fans. And I'm like, how did that go over? And the one guy, Darren, he goes, I loved it. He goes, it was great. And it was fun hearing a non-cynical, snarky, I want this, I know everything sort of perspective. They were all like that. And Darren was just caught up in the whole Velveteen Dream. He came out in a Tom Brady jersey. And he goes, and that boy was just, he was ready to get his ass kicked. We were ready to go after him. Like, these are Southern kids. And, well, Southern adults, actually. And then what's his name? Aleister Black came out. And he goes, and then, you know, he kept smarting off. And then the other guy came out. He kicked him straight in the mouth. And he beat his ass, and it was great. And I'm going, I remember being like that. Like,
yeah. It's funny,
how fun. But they loved it. And they're like, yeah, next time it comes, we're going again.
Yeah. You know the funny thing about wrestling? If you look at it just a fan, it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just a soap opera with athletics. They tell fun stories and fun action. And that's why I try – like, I try to move away from the insider stuff. It's kind of like fans, it used to be fans wanted to be coaches. Now fans want to be GMs and owners. Like, I don't think like that, like, oh, this is good for a box office and the budget. And, like, why should I care about that? I'm a fan. I just want to go out there and enjoy. Like, imagine you go see Black Panther. You want to, like, oh, you know, I wonder how much they spent on, you know, photography. Mm-hmm. You know, like that. Or, you know, like, maybe such and such not acting too well because he had a budget dispute with Kevin Feige. Like, no. I just want to watch somebody fighting a rhinoceros made out of vibranium. I don't know. I don't want to be worried about that other stuff. Like, wrestling, like, I'm a grown-ass man, and I accept the fact that a dropkick makes no sense in a fight. But I watch it, and I accept that. Don't try to make it more than what it is, and don't try to make me feel dumb about watching wrestling. And yeah. I always keep running that whole thing. That's why I don't really want to go to, like, the NXT shows anymore or the Raw after WrestleMania, because it's all that, oh, I knew this was going to happen, and Vince don't know what he's doing. And I'm like, you paying money to see Vince's show. He ain't paying money to see you. So all this, I could do it better. Otherwise, shut up and just watch the show. Like, entertainment's supposed to be entertaining, and we don't, it's too many of us that don't want to be entertained by what we watch, and we just hate watch.
I will say this, when I go to a house show, or I go to Raw, all that sort of stuff, I find myself being a fan way more than when I watch it on TV. I don't know why that is, just how it is. And when I'm at home, though, even last night, did you catch SmackDown last night?
Yeah.
Okay. One, and I guess I should make the point first. What I've found is I'm having a hard time separating, because we used to be really critical, and then something just kind of changed to where I'm like, all right, I'm not an insider. I appreciate, you know, that people are. I like being up on, like, news, whatever. But I'm not going to pretend that I'm in the biz, you know, or that I know all this stuff. But when I see something I don't like, then I feel the need to criticize. But then I started realizing that part of that, like, it's almost 75-25% that it's the fan in me. So I'm watching last night, and they had the Usos and Big E, and I'm sorry, well, kind of blew where I was going, but they had the Usos and New Day. I'm a huge fan of New Day still, because I just think that they work, because it's a real thing. Well, when Big E went off last night, I was jumping up and down on the couch. I was like, this is fucking awesome. And I realized that it was perfect. It was great. And then, plus, Big E should probably be moving on to something anyways. Anyways, that's different talk. But then later, John Cena beats AJ Styles. And I go, what are we doing? And that's where it, like, kind of clicked back in, but it was also like the fan perspective of, I don't want AJ Styles losing matches. And then the second part kicks in to where, like, yeah, that was really stupid. And, like, the balance doesn't kick in. I kind of start rambling, but it's, in that case, the AJ Styles case, it wasn't because of, like, being a fan. I just thought that was a really dumb decision.
And, yeah, but I look at that whole John Cena thing as kind of like, John Cena's great in this storyline. The storyline is just so damn dumb.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of, why would I feel like, and I made a joke, it's kind of like, sound like Peyton Manning, like, John Cena been dominating for, what, 15 years? And now all of a sudden he's old and he don't got it anymore. I'm supposed to feel bad. Like, oh, yeah. I lost a few times. I'm going to tell you that I lost. No one else will tell you that. I'm like, Curt Hawkins tell me he loses all the time. I don't feel bad for him either. Why should I feel bad? Like, you've been, it's like asking somebody to feel bad for Tom Brady. Like,
yeah,
we've seen you won 5 Super Bowls. You've dominated for over a decade. And now it sounds like, I don't know if I can make it to WrestleMania. I'll try some way. Like, who are you trying to fool? Like, you're John Cena. Could you imagine The Rock or Stone Cold saying something like this? And this whole, and the weird thing is, John Cena's technically old. This is the first time I remember somebody that's not like Ric Flair age. That's a man. That's like in the main event. They're talking about him being old and washed up.
He said he was 41 years old. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, like, okay, so you're around the same age as Brock Lesnar, who's champ.
Yeah.
You hear Brock Lesnar saying he's old? Like, no. You hear AJ Styles complain about his age. Like, Bobby Roode's 40. Most of the people in the main, like, Nakamura's in his late 30s. Ziggler's in his mid. Most of those people in their late 30s, early 40s, none of them are talking about how old they are. Now John Cena's like, oh, I don't know if I got anything left in the tank, and I'm going to do it for the kids. And if I got to sneak away in the WrestleMania, I'll do it. I'll do what I can do. But I'm strong enough to beat AJ Styles, the world champ, so I guess I got my swagger back. See, like,
okay, and that was my big problem.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm sorry. I totally cut you off. Sorry. Yeah.
No, but the same thing as you. It's kind of like it's a disconnect between what's the story saying, who's saying it, and then what happens. Like, oh, he loses these matches on Raw. He's old and yada yada yada. He beats the world champ that's been beating everybody. It's just clean, and it isn't even seen that challenging. Like, for what? So he can get in a match to lose? Because it's not like he's gonna win the title at Fastlane. So I don't know. It's like the setup was like either for him to fight Undertaker, for him to fight Rey Mysterio, which is like, who want to see him fight Rey Mysterio at WrestleMania?
Exactly.
Like, for what? So Rey can get his win back after Cena stole the belt when Rey won it, and Cena like, I want a match in 30 minutes for the title, or after Rey Mysterio wrestle for 20 minutes to win. I'm like, what's the? I don't get the. I get they're two big names. People still care about John Cena. People still care about Rey Mysterio. But have you ever heard anybody say, you know what, I would love to see them two wrestle? Like, I have never thought about, like, I've seen them have that match before. I haven't ever thought about them having, like, a big-time WrestleMania match. And especially if you know the crowd wants to have him fight The Undertaker. As much as certain fans are like, oh, I don't want to see that. It's like, it ain't for you. The majority of fans want to see that. Don't tease. Don't be like, oh, I want to wrestle The Undertaker, but they won't let me. What are we doing? This is the second year in a row. It's this whole, I want to fight The Undertaker, they won't let me get my way mess. I'm tired of hearing that. And that's the part where it's like, it takes me out of it as a fan. When you have me think about this insider stuff, it's like, you beat me over the head with locker room stuff or behind the scenes stuff, and it's messing me up as a fan. It's like, why are you doing this to me? I don't want to think about those type of things, because as soon as I start thinking about those type of things, I'm just going to get annoyed, and it's going to take away from my enjoyment of the show.
Yeah, and see, it's funny that you said about Undertaker and John Cena, because I was talking to Kevin about this, and I don't see what the big deal is. And maybe this would be different if I knew Undertaker wasn't done. You know, he didn't look physically very good against Roman Reigns. Now, whether it's part of the story or not, but if you watch the WWE 24/7 thing about WrestleMania, he was limping around backstage. Now, mind you, I know they could just be putting on a production. But then he loses, and it was like the last stand that he couldn't do it anymore. He puts the stuff on, leaves it in the ring, and leaves. He has the perfect ending. There's literally nothing about his ending that was bad. Why bother? Which two different points I'm making, I guess, but why don't do it? Ric Flair had a outstanding send-off. He ruined it by being poor or mismanaging his money, you know? Shawn Michaels is one that comes to mind. Great ending. Two guys who apparently are done now, Mark Henry and Big Show, they're done. They didn't even get anything.
I think it's the thing, it's one, it's The Undertaker, and two, if they had just let The Undertaker lose and then they didn't mention him anymore, that'd be one thing. But you can't have like, oh, yeah, like that John Cena Roman Reigns program they had is when it kind of started. That's like, oh, you got to beat an old washed up, broken down has-been. You can't say stuff like that and just let that slide with like somebody like The Undertaker. Like that I can see. It's kind of like, no. It's The Undertaker. You ain't just going to like, you're not going to trash, like put respect on his name, as they say. Like, you ain't just going to trash his name like that. So I can see that. And why is it a big deal? People have been talking about that match for like 9 years. Like, John Cena wrestling The Undertaker. Like, you know, we like to make fun of it or say no one wants to see it. It's a reason people always brought it up. Because it's kind of like, before it was, who would break the Undertaker streak, and they're like, let's hope it's not John Cena, because we'll never, like, we used to make the joke, if John Cena broke the Undertaker streak, somebody might try to murder John Cena. Like, that used to be the joke that was made, and then after the streak wasn't a thing, it's like, well, they might as well have it, because they don't got, you know, what else is there for Undertaker to do, and what else is there for Cena to do? Like, it's kind of like, who else would they fight? Like, if Undertaker not wrestling John Cena, he don't need to wrestle. If John Cena not wrestling the Undertaker, who gonna care about who John Cena wrestles? Like, at this point, he's wrestled almost everybody. That's important, and it's kind of like, I couldn't think of a match like that would get me excited to see John Cena in for WrestleMania. Like, unless he wrestled like John Jones or some nonsense like that. It's not like, it's nobody. It's really nobody else for him to wrestle that makes it worthwhile for John Cena to wrestle at WrestleMania. And nothing against Rey Mysterio, but
There's no setup.
That's the whole, oh, we both rode on the same road, John. I remember you beat me when I won the title, and I've been thinking about that for 8 years, and now I'm going to get payback when I finally got in shape. My knee don't hurt anymore. The average fan not going to remember that. Nope. It's like, who going... They have a good match because, like, Rey Mysterio can still go, and Johnson's professional, but I'm like, what's the stakes?
That whole angle was pretty much forgotten about as soon as it happened.
Yeah.
They never like, followed up on it. John won the end.
Yeah, like, Rey won the belt, having a good match, then John's like, oh, I want to get my rematch. I want to get the title match today, and Rey, like a dummy, is like, yeah, let's do it. John won. People got pissed because, like, how's John Cena babyface taking advantage of somebody who just had a match on the same night? Like, that's some heel crap. And I remember people complaining about that. And then that was it. No, that was not brought up again. And John Cena went on his merry way. And so did Rey Mysterio. So what's the point beside these are two big names? They haven't fought in a long time. Let's have something. Like, this dude has to have him fight The Undertaker. You can get by just on spectacle alone. Like, it's not going to be a great match. It doesn't have to be. It's Undertaker and John Cena. That's something you can brag. Like, Rock and Hogan was no great match, but it was Hulk Hogan and The Rock. It just got by just doing that. Like, Undertaker can fake it to make it, and so could John Cena for, like, 16, 17 minutes.
Well, here's the thing. Hogan and Rock was one thing, because it never even been a possibility, you know? And Cena and Taker, well, they've been around. So it's like, well, what the hell? I mean, why wasn't this like that before? But then, do we really want to see Taker lose again? Because because this is going to be his swan song, you know? And do we want to see Taker lose another match at WrestleMania? I mean... it'd be his third one, right? Yeah, just Roman and Brock. So, but then it's also, I mean, it's like, does John Cena really want to do that if a legacy is even involved? Because people still are lukewarm to him, and I think that's, I'm putting it politely by now. It's just a weird thing for me. Like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I'm thinking like, I know it's the whole thing sort of losing your way out, but I was like, why should Undertaker lose to John Cena? I'm like, I could see if this was like 2009 or even 2012. I'm like, John Cena about to be out the door himself.
Right. So, yeah.
So I'm kind of thinking like, just have Undertaker win and retire. I know it's not the thing, and I know Undertaker's old school and yada yada. I was like, just have him win. And you saw that, like,
I don't disagree with you.
Yeah, Cena don't need to win. It would make Cena look a lot better because people wouldn't be resentful of, like, you know, Cena beating Undertaker in his last match. Taker, man, he'll get over it. It's like, oh, you're going to take this win, what you going to do, not wrestle? Like, go be mad at Michelle. You'll live. So just let's have that. Cena will be just – because it's kind of like at the point where you get a certain age and – wins and losses don't matter that much. Like, it matters more to the person you're fighting than you. Like, there's nothing John Cena can do now that's going to make him any better or any worse as far as, like, how he's remembered, like, ring-wise, besides legend stuff. It's the same thing like Triple H. Like, Triple H don't really, besides beating that doofus Sting, Triple H don't win anymore. It doesn't matter. It's like, it's Triple H. He has that name. He's there to make something a big deal and to lose. Like, for all the talk about Triple H, he let a woman put him through a table. And sold it like somebody shot him. And it's like, that's Bigfoot Triple H thing. And it's funny, I know we talk about the whole Booker T Triple H thing. I watched some of those promos. I forgot how bad it was.
Yeah.
Like, it was, I'm watching this like, I know Booker T was supposed to win until they signed Goldberg. He should have still won. That's the, you can't have Triple H talk that Django and Chain stuff and then have him win at WrestleMania. Like, that's, it's not, come out and do a dance for me. You come out here with your nappy hair and you entertain, because people like you, that's what y'all do. Y'all dance and y'all entertain, but y'all not going to win. And I'm just saying this like,
Jesus, I don't remember that. I remember yes. him throwing money at him.
No, he cut a promo like the day after, like the Raw after Booker T won the main, like he won the Battle Royal, like he beat The Rock to win the Battle Royal, be number one contender. And like that next week, he's out there like, you know, I'm going to go for the title and like that. And Triple H came with Ric Flair and Triple H talking like, oh, you know, I saw you and like that. And you come out here, you know, they're like, that's what you do. You dance, you entertain with your, like people like with your nappy hair and your hippity hop and people
holy
like
shit.
You. Yes. Yes. And Ric Flair just there just smiling like a plantation owner, just showing his teeth. And the crowd just booing Triple H, calling him an asshole. Triple H was horrible. And it's like, you know, yeah, you were champion WCW. I don't know what that was about. You championed him right out of the business. Like, yeah, it wasn't no big deal. Who else was champ? David Arquette, Vince Russo. Well, that's what y'all do. Y'all out there entertain and sing a song and make you laugh. You entertain. I was plenty entertained watching you put WCW out of business. But people like you will never be champion.
God. Yeah. You know the bad thing is? He's right. He was world champion, but he was never WWE champion.
Yeah. And it's just sitting there like he just going on and on. And as before, it's like, you know, grab my bags and throw like a dollar at a fly.
Yeah.
And then he wins. Like, what type of story is that? The racist who says the black man not good enough to win a title because he's black is proven right?
Yeah, I remember Kevin and I were watching that, and Triple H won, and we were all like, what just happened? Like, did they mess up? Or, like, is this a rib? Like, what happened?
And not only won, he hit him with the pedigree and took like a damn minute to crawl over there and pin him. I'm like, he might as well just do a shovel and a bushel of cotton all over him. Like, good. I'm seeing this, and the whole thing was, oh, you know, we were going to let him win, but we signed Goldberg.
So?
And if and it's kind of like, you know, if Booker T needs to win, he needs to be the man, and he can't be the man if Goldberg's going to be the man, too. So that's how I did that. And then they treated Goldberg like trash for 9 months. Like, that's, and that's where is that whole why people hate Triple H thing came. It's like, yeah, he earned that one. Like, that's, you can't, because he basically Booker T basically rehabilitated himself and become a big deal, and the crowd behind Booker T. You have that angle, you have Triple H win, you use the excuses like Triple H needs to be strong for Goldberg, you have The Rock put over Goldberg like $1 million, and then you make Goldberg look stupid before he finally wins. So by the time he wins, it doesn't matter. So he's like, you ruined two people, made The Rock do something for nothing, so you can look good. And it ended up half was nobody looked good from that.
Yeah, that whole era was kind of messy anyways, because it's still that whole thing, which we'll get off wrestling here in a second, but it's still that whole thing where no new stars were created because he wouldn't get out of the goddamn way. And, I mean, I guess, you know, that's what you do to make your money, but oof, man.
Yeah, it's the only, it's funny where the new star that was made by accident, both ways, because John Cena almost got fired, and mm-hmm. Batista made it because Randy Orton wasn't ready. And this funny thing about that in hindsight, where it's kind of like, as smart as Vince is, a lot of his success came from, like, dumbass luck. No, everybody wasn't like, when you see The Rock, you knew he was going to be a star. When you saw Triple H, you kind of knew. You didn't think Stone Cold or Mick Foley was going to be anything special?
No.
I know, yeah.
Mick Foley, no, but I was always a big Steve Austin fan, so I was like, come on.
Yeah, but fans were a big Steve Austin fan. WWE was they were like, well, he can wrestle. So, yeah, like, they were going to basically treat him like he was Finley. until he got, like, basically that's how they treat him. Like, oh, he's a guy that can wrestle. We'll have him be in the mid-card and do stuff. And look how history turned out. It's just hilarious thinking that. It's almost kind of like, you know, if Cleveland drafted LeBron James like an undrafted free agent. Like, oh, it's this guy we found in some Akron high school. Well, maybe he can do something. He ended up being LeBron James. It's like, how you sleep on Steve Austin? Like, everybody knew he was special except for the people that mattered.
Yeah. And, well, and they made a shit ton of money after that, so. All right, let's get off wrestling here. The CW shows are back, so that's nice. We'll talk about these real quick. Legends and Black Panther are tied for my 1 and 2.
In Black Lightning.
You know how many times I've made that mistake now?
I'm sure you make it plenty of times. They both start with Black. They both out recently, and they're both good. So,
okay, what'd you think of this week's?
You know what? I was okay. It was weird because one, Black Lightning has this thing where they drop hints. It seemed like it's a lot of stuff that goes on that we don't know about, like stuff that happened back in the day, and they drop just enough hints to make you curious, but they don't really spell out the whole stuff with Gambi. It's like, is he a villain? Is he a hero? Is he used to be a villain? Like, it keeps throwing me off because every week he interacts with, you know, the bad guys, and they drop these clues and stuff like, you know, you're only here because of, you know, what you did 20 years ago, and I was there for the program where you was this. And it's almost like it was kind of like, sometimes I feel like I missed a season or like two seasons of the show. And I can see what they're doing. It's kind of like, you know, they want to drop, like, it's a world that already happened. They dropped us in, not we just going to hold your hand. So that part is cool. But sometimes it's frustrating because I keep feeling like I'm missing stuff. And it's like, and it just, that part is kind of like just different because none of the other shows do it. I did laugh at the fight between him and his daughter at the end because that was just like, they don't recognize each other.
Yeah,
like, I know they got masks on, but it's like, y'all both here to save this woman. Y'all don't think maybe it's a reason? Like, why are you looking at her like, you know, why are you looking at her like she's the villain? Why is she looking at him like, y'all both here to save this woman?
Okay.
Why are y'all both here to save this, like, this woman that, okay, that's your mom, that's your ex-wife. After like 15 seconds, it don't click, like, wait a second, like, what's going on?
Well, that was my thing, is he runs in, they've established everybody knows who Black Lightning, I almost said it, who Black Lightning is. They've established that. So why would she automatically go, no, I gotta fight him?
Yeah.
Just put your hands up. I mean, that makes more sense than getting in a fist fight with your urban legend hero, you know? So I was really confused by that. Like, they're doing something here that's, you know, they've been very smartly avoiding.
I get what they were doing. It was just weird because I don't know why they did it. Like, it's kind of like, I get the storyline, but how they got around it just seemed kind of clunky in a way they normally don't do. That show normally is like clunky, and I think some of the stuff they did this time was clunky. And it's, and like you bring up the point, it's not like he's the Punisher. I can see why I just don't like Black Lightning. The Hood like Black Lightning. That'd be like Spider-Man coming to save Mary Jane, and then Mary Jane's brother came to save him. Like, oh, you must have kidnapped Spider-Man. I'm gonna beat you up. Like, huh? Or like if Flash came up and showed, you know, I'm just gonna start fighting Spider-Man. Back when, you know, not when I'm mad at Spider-Man, more like, oh, Spider-Man, he's the hero. You would expect a hero to save the day. Like, you wouldn't expect if Superman was saving Lois Lane and then Batman showed up, it's like, why he gonna beat up Superman? Like, why would he think Superman would kidnap Lois Lane? Like, why does she think Black Lightning would do this? That's the thing that didn't make sense, and it kind of took me out of it because she's not dumb.
Right.
And he was like, you know, he was there, the right thing. He was like self-defense mode. But then when he started fighting, he was kicking the crap out of her. It was like, you don't got an issue beating up a girl?
Didn't give a shit.
No.
And I'm like, okay. And
I mean, I guess it's like the first time she uses a power and knock him almost through a wall. It's like, okay, this ain't no regular girl. I can go ahead and electrocute it all day long. Was just, yeah, it felt weird. It felt funny.
Yeah, see, I like the idea when he hit her with the lightning, it didn't affect her. And I'm like, oh, cool, they're going to have it to where, since it's his daughter, their powers cancel each other out.
The whole X-Men thing.
And then that's not what happened. And I was like, oh, all right. Now, there's two things here. The Gambi stuff, for sure. Well, three things. The Gambi stuff, for sure. Now, are we supposed to be getting the vibe that either Gambi is Tobias's dad, or that there's a possibility that Tobias and Black Lightning are related?
No,
I was getting this weird vibe from that. I'm going, oh no.
Well, they showed Tobias's dad already.
That's
he
true.
Died. Yeah, he died. That was the guy from Living Single. Matter of fact, that plays the voice of Kratos in God of War, which is a whole bunch of old man makeup. So they showed his dad before he died.
Oh, God damn it.
When Tobias killed him. It's something going on with Gambi, and it's kind of like, it seemed like his stuff happened way back in the day when they were all younger, because they used to say, like, Tobias was a councilman, and then some stuff went on. He was in some experiment where he stopped aging, got strong, but it was some side effects. Then it's like, you know, Jill Scott's character knows Gambi, because they were, like, I don't know if they worked together, but it's like, okay, they know each other. Black Lightning knows Gambi because Gambi basically trained Black Lightning, but Black Lightning doesn't know that Gambi knows Tobias well and Jill Scott. They don't know that he knows Black Lightning. So, like, he's keeping secret, and it wasn't like he was in the CIA or some stuff. It's like, it's a whole bunch of backstory that's just seen, like, it's just weird where it's like, he's Alfred if you couldn't trust Alfred.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, and we know that you shouldn't trust them, but we don't know why. It's like, it's weird where the villains and the hero got the same connection, and they don't know it.
Yep, and then you touched on it with the earlier talk, and we mentioned this before, I don't want this show to become like the other shows, and it hasn't been, and that's why it's been so good. I'm really worried about the daughter getting powers now, because I've already seen a picture of her in a super suit, and I want the show to be about Black... I want the show to be about Black Lightning. I don't want it to be about the kid becoming a superhero and him having to train him. We already have that. We've got the Flash. I mean, the Flash this week was all about training a character who was terrible, and then, you know, she dies at the end, and then they go on to the next thing. It's like, no.
You didn't like brunette Carrie Underwood?
Oh, my God. That was so... just No. So, anyways, on Black Lightning, I want it to be about him. I like the side stories with his daughters. I like the side story with his ex-wife and this. I enjoy that. What I don't want, though, is I want the focus to be on the main character of the show.
Okay, but it's not... That's the whole thing with these shows where if you... You can't really have a super, unless it's hard to have a superhero show that's an hour that's just on him.
Yeah, just no, on a super, I agree. But
and
as long as 50% is on him.
Yeah. And it's, I think the daughters, how they're doing is kind of like a contrast of, like, they're almost like both sides of him. Because one is the whole activist, I'm going to do what he can't do, I'm going to go headstrong. The other one's kind of like laid back, I'm going to like be in the cut. Because they're sisters, but they aren't alike.
Right.
They're like real sisters. And it's kind of like a difference when you see them. And they deal with family stuff that kind of influences his superhero stuff. And they make a big deal about focusing, like, you know, actions have consequences. Mm-hmm. And every time Anissa does something, it has a consequence on the family. Every time the other daughter does something, it has a consequence. The whole Khalil thing is kind of like, I know it's kind of like, you know, you get turned on because they left you for granted. But it's like, they didn't brush that under the rug where, like, you know, oh, he got hurt, that's it. It's like, it's been a thing. And it's the whole typical superhero thing. But, you know, it's kind of like, if it's done well, it's the reason why they do it, because it works when it's done well. So I think they're using their family to make you understand why Black Lightning's doing what he's doing and the consequences of stuff. Like, everybody's actions are all, like, centered around Black Lightning's actions. So it's not like he's getting pushed aside or you know, get pushed. Like, even when they have this storyline, like, you know, Anisha's trying to figure out what happened to Lightning's dad.
Yeah. Boy, that was like, some vicious stuff.
Yes. You forget, it's kind of like this, because you're not used to CW being like, even though Arrow is violent, you're not used to Black Lightning, CW shows being as violent as they are, even though sometimes they can be, and it's like, yeah, they don't mess around with the violence, and they don't mess around with the language. Tobias choking that guy is like, you know, I used to think white guys are reliable, you just as shifty and lazy as the brothers.
Yeah, I thought he was going to say Negroes. So when he said brothers, yeah, that actually got a laugh out of me. So
yes, because it's kind of like, you know, a black person wrote that, because it's like, a white person will not have enough balls to try to write that in a script. Like, oh, you think I can get away with saying this? It's like, no.
Yeah.
And it's just funny where it's definitely like, you know, the whole thing with the Confederate statue.
Okay, that's where I wanted to go next.
Yeah, so. And then they drove in the crowds. Like, I know some people complain, like, oh, you know, they're just taking stuff from the real world. And I'm like, that's a thing. And it's like, it's, they make a big thing of mention, like, you know, these aren't just superheroes. These are black people with superpowers. And the speech he made his daughter, like, you know, you just can't be doing stuff with the cops. Like, all, you know, you cannot be a black young woman and naive, because all it takes is one mistake and one cop looking at you the wrong way and you're in a box.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're not used to hearing, like, you would never hear that on The Flash, because it's a, you wouldn't have to. Like, he has privilege. Like, The Flash has to worry about fighting supervillains. He has to worry about, you know, racial stuff. He's a regular looking white guy, so that's not an issue for him.
Yeah, but see, here's the part I didn't like, though. I really, and I, you know me, I'm not the sensitive type, I really didn't like the fact, because it was only 2 months ago, maybe a little bit more, that really happened. And it, I don't know, it felt, glamorized is not the right word. I lost the word I was going to use, but that was a real event that people are still getting over. And it's like, man, when they pulled that up, I was like, okay, the Confederate flag thing, sure, whatever. Which we have to talk about how she dealt with it real quick. But having them, like, drive into the crowd and kill people, I was like, whoa, guys.
I
know, but, man, it's, you know, we still don't see, like, you know, I hate using, like, 9/11 references because it's just not the same, but I don't know. I'm not going to say it was in bad taste, but I just
it felt uncomfortable, didn't it?
Well, it felt uncomfortable only because that was a real world thing that just happened, and yes, it is one of those things that I'm going to go with, like, time heals the wound of it. But it'd be, I mean, akin to just like anytime there's a school shooting. Like, I know, I think it was American Horror Story had a school shooting and they took it out. And then, oh no, I'm sorry, that was actually in there. And then
Mr. Robot had a shooting that they took out because the weekends were going to come out. It was an actual shooting. So they were like, we just going to push it a week.
Yeah. And what was the other one? American Horror Story did the same thing with basically kind of the same situation with there was a like congressman or somebody got shot. And it was a whole thing about how the leader of the cult was going to get shot outside. Well, they cut down like 10 minutes of the episode and then gave it to you. If you watch it online, they gave it to you. So it was one of those things.
I thought about that. I'm like, I'm wondering when, because you think about this, like they filmed this stuff a while ago.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. It's kind of like, considering when they filmed it, when it happened, who knows if the chicken came first, the egg came first. And then my whole thing is like, I know people say, oh, you know, just wait. I'm like, this is happening every damn day, like, or every week. It's like, you want to say, okay, I want to wait for stuff to die down. And it's like, okay, you bring the next week and then something new happened. Like, unfortunately, we're at this part where it ain't no dying down. Like, I don't know if you caught the news today, people, the whole thing about, oh, you know, we got to arm teachers. And then a teacher got arrested for have shooting people at a school.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to laugh. Really?
Yes, that happened today. And it's kind of like, okay, I guess we need to arm the students now. Like, it's Battle Royale. Like,
No, Battle Royale had it right. Yeah. Put those goddamn brats on an island. Whoever survives comes back. I got no problem with that.
Yeah, teachers, but discipline it's, your shit. It's just hilarious. It's just sad and hilarious when people brought up, like, arming the teachers. Like, you know that's not going to, like, teachers, like, you can't give them a stapler. You want to give them a gun? Okay. And then, like, I imagine this won't end well. And the next damn day, this happens. It's kind of like, and it's almost where if somebody wrote that in a sitcom, people say, oh, that's too tropey. Like, that wouldn't really happen. Like, no, it really happened. And then it's like, well, what are you going to do next? Like, okay, you say, you know, it's kind of like the security guards who are armed. They like, I ain't going in there. I took this job because it was easy. So it's like the people that trained didn't want to do it. You want your gym teacher that might have PTSD or like got a, you know, a cocaine issue. Like the first time somebody mouth off a dodgeball, he's going to plug him in the kneecap. Like, okay. You like, and I got to laugh when they were saying like, it's not going to be teachers, going to be ones that's like trained and special forces like that. I'm like, this ain't the substitute. Like, you ain't getting Tom Berenger as a chemistry teacher. Oh, he used to be in Desert Storm, and now he's teaching geology, and he's going to be walking around with a AK just in case Timmy get mad at his girlfriend. Like, what are we? This is so Netflix crap. And you try to make it like some real life. Like, this is the movies we used to watch growing up as kids. I would never think people say, you know what? Maybe we should try this in real life. And that's where we are.
So, okay, guys, I guess this is our political conversation, so if you don't like it, then to stop listening. All right, so go through your school teachers that you had throughout your life, okay? And there, you already know where I'm going.
Uh-huh.
Can you imagine, like, I had a lady, and her name was Mrs. Rutenberg, 60-year-old lady. Could you imagine her packing a piece? I mean, just think the worst teacher you had, or the oldest, and I know this will fall under, well, they wouldn't have guns anyways. Okay, cool.
Yarr.
No! Oh, my God. Nobody got,
yeah, I'm thinking, like, and I went to private school, where it's kind of like, you know, yeah, you get bad, you get hit with rulers and stuff like that. Imagine you get bad like that, like, oh, I got something for you. I'm going to shoot you in the foot. Because I just had a bad day, and they cut the budget down, and I got to teach the special needs kids, and I had my coffee, and you on Twitter, I'm just going to have a test. Like, no, what? All you got to do is remember all the stuff you went through at school, or some substitute teacher don't want to be there. It's like, just watch this movie, and y'all mouth off. Like, he ain't going to send you detention. He going to send you to the damn hospital. Like, how you, or something happens, and like, you know, the teacher fumbles around with a gun, accidentally shoots himself. Or he saves the day, and then the cops shoot him. Because that was some other thing where I think somebody was trying to rob a bank, or there was some altercation. The guy broke up, like stopped the guy from trying to rob the bank. Cops came and shot the dude that saved the day. So that whole good guy with a gun thing is like, you be the good guy with a gun, and you get shot by the heroes because all they see is a dude with a gun. Like, it, no, mm-hmm. Nothing about it makes sense, and they didn't think it through. But this whole, and I hear people all the time, it's like, oh, you can't do anything because people use trucks. You know why people use trucks in those other countries? Because they can't get guns. I take my chances with somebody in a dump truck. Like, and I always laugh when they say, we got to do it for the criminals. I'm like, you don't know criminals. You know what criminals are busy doing? Crime. They're not messed, like, I made a joke with you, like, the Crips ain't shooting up schools. They're busy, you know, doing gang stuff. They don't need AR, like, they got pistols and shotguns. They busy robbing people or doing crime stuff. They're not messing with you. They aren't bothering you. Most of the people that you need to worry about is your next door neighbor. And that's the one, like, so this whole, oh, we can't do this and that because the bad guys get a gun, we ain't going to do that. The bad guys ain't messing with you. The bad guys trying to make money. Like, this isn't Death Wish. You walking down the street, playing tag, and then the street gang just come down the street and shoot you and kidnap. Like, we ain't living in Syria. Like, what do people I'm serious. Like, people just have this idea, like, they live in a neighborhood like it's Double Dragon. I guess it's a level of consciousness like that. Like, you know, I got to have my rocket launcher because just in case, you never know, the bad guys got guns too. I'll do something like, why don't we just have a Stinger missile? I want to go hunt the Predator.
Which that was a great reference, defense, by the way, for the people who have seen Death Wish 4. So,
exactly.
Which, okay, can we real quick, and we're all over the place today, whatever.
That comes out Friday, doesn't it?
Who gives a shit? That looks so, it just looks dumb, and it looks bad. they're treating him like this cocky blah 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 and this generic action villain and totally devoid of the point of the original movie. The original movie, I mean, he gets cocky at the end because the cops basically say, hey, it's okay to do this stuff. And then he gets caught, and then he goes to Chicago, where you got the famous ending where he's full of himself. Those guys, you know, bump into him or do something to him at the train station. I believe it was a train station. And he just looks and points the gun, and that's how it ends. Or points his finger gun. It seems like that's all Eli Roth took from the Death Wish series was, yeah, bad Bruce Willis, all right, you're just going to go and shoot up a bunch of guys and, you know, I'm not going to kill you, but Jack will. Mm-hmm. And yes, I have not seen the movie, so whatever. I'm not going to.
Yeah,
it comes out this weekend.
Mm-hmm. No, it comes out this Friday, and it's funny where the trailers of the commercials went from this dark thriller to like even for laughs. They got like the music where it's like an action movie. You laugh at the jokes and stuff. Like it's ha ha. He kills somebody with a car. What? Like what? It just seems so. You know the tone. The word that comes tone deaf.
Yeah.
Like it's the wrong. You could have done this movie in the 70s or maybe even like the 80s. But from like 88, 89 on, no. Like you can't do this movie this way. It just seems not the whole social justice warrior. Now, it just seems stupid. Like it's every time I think of like they missed the damn point and they playing this whole thing and they trying to play it for like, oh, it's funny, it's doing a good guy with a gun doing the right thing. And I'm like, this ain't the age when people say, you know what? Cops ain't ruthless enough. We need tougher cops. No one is saying that except for dude bros who you don't need to be listening to. So I'm like, what's the point you're trying to tell with your movie? That's why I always get to that whole, like, what's the story behind this? And it seemed like, you know what? People are pussies. And we need to man up and do stuff our own way and manifest destiny. And the cops won't protect us. You got to go out, you know, Mr. Mel Nurse or whatever he's playing. I don't know if he's a nurse or doctor in this movie. You got to go out and man up and do what society won't let you do. Yeah, most people who talk like that, they sound like the damn Unabomber when they look like Bruce Willis.
Yeah, because I know in the original, he was an architect. Mm-hmm. So, and that was also, a funny thing is in the movie, in the original, the gun he starts using is actually a gift from a client. So he got the gun illegally, and that's how they could never trace it. So it's obviously not going to happen in this, because I'm pretty sure subtlety and nuance are going to be totally out the window. But I would be curious to see if they would do that in this. But, you know, I'm not stupid. So, that's Death Wish talk. But then, and it's going to bomb, right?
Yes.
Black Panther is still making $100 million, whatever. And then, what's it, Wrinkle in Time? Is that out this weekend, too?
No, that comes out in 2 weeks, I think. Red Sparrow comes out this week.
Oh, okay. So, Red Sparrow, they are making a giant deal out of Jennifer Lawrence being naked in the movie. And I guess there's, like, a ridiculous amount of nudity in this movie.
Yeah, I've been reading the previews. I've been reading the reviews. It's kind of like, it's all over the place. It's, like, either real good or real bad. I feel like IGN gave, like, a one. Cause they were saying like this is some nasty. They was almost like this is some torture porn nonsense.
That's
like
what
it's
I was
just,
wondering.
And it's funny where like Francis Lawrence, a funny director, like you know he did some of the Hunger Games stuff and he did Constantine. And it's kind of like he films stuff, but almost like a distance. He doesn't delve into stuff. It's almost like clinical. And I think one of those where they market it one way. And it's not that. It's like people think, oh, they're making a Black Widow movie, and they think it's an action movie. And it's like, oh, they're doing a Black Widow movie, and it's like the nasty stuff that she used to do in the comics they don't talk about anymore. Like all that, I got a lot of red in my ledger thing. I think people are going to be kind of fooled, like they were expecting one thing, and they got something else.
That's exactly what I expect this movie to be.
Yeah, and that's from, if you see the previews, you expect like an erotic thriller or like a somewhat action movie. You read the reviews, like, they, like, it is not, it's not like that. It's, like, it's something cold and calculating and uncomfortable, and you don't think of like Jennifer Lawrence doing those. It just seemed like a movie like Viggo Mortensen would do.
Yes,
like one of those like one of those type movies, like Eastern Promises, something like that. It didn't seem like you don't think of like Jennifer Lawrence like doing stuff like that. Like I could see Julianne Moore doing something like that, or like, even like Angelina Jolie, but I couldn't picture Jennifer Lawrence doing this type of movie. I'm kind of throwing people off. My wife wants to see it, so.
Yeah, at least we'll be seeing it too.
Yeah, so we'll be seeing it Friday. So that's that. But that's, you know, talking about movies, I'm like, I know, like, Black Panther is, the amount of money it's doing is just insane. And it's getting to the point where, like, you can't just say, like, it's a fluke or something like that. It's getting to the point now. I've read, like, some stuff online where, like, movie chain owners, stuff like that, like, we want more movies like Black Panther and Wonder Woman. They basically came out and said that, like, whatever y'all doing is working, bring us more stuff like that. And I'm, because it's kind of like, you can't, all those stories saying, like, you know, people don't want to see women or people don't want to see black people, that's out the window. Like, this movie's doing, it ain't doing, like, Marvel numbers. It's doing Star Wars numbers. So, and I'm just thinking, it's kind of like, I know it's like thinking like way in the future. How much money is they gonna give Ryan Coogler to do Black Panther 2? Like that's they can basically say, you know what, you can use whoever you want, we'll pay you whatever you need. Like this movie's doing, like this movie will probably be either the number one or number two highest grossing movie Marvel's ever done. Yeah, so when you do stuff like that, you get to kind of like name your price.
Yeah. And here's let's right, outside the women and black people thing, let's not forget, they're two good movies.
Yeah.
You know, it's basically they should be saying, hey, can you just give us the Marvel, can you just keep making good movies? Because this is going to be pretty sweet. And but, DC, just can we just have some more woman movies?
No, I think the thing is, it's not just the fact that good movies, it's people always assume that only certain people can make good movies.
Yeah.
And it was always like, you know, grade them on the curve. It's like, no, Wonder Woman isn't just a good movie because it's a woman director. Wonder Woman is a good movie, period.
No, that's what I'm getting at. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. And that's always been the argument. It's like, give us a chance and a budget, and we can do a good movie. Like, that's all we need. And it's like, they gave Ryan Coogler Colin Trevorrow money. Like, Colin Trevorrow go the whole, I got this indie movie that three people saw, and now I'm doing Jurassic World, and I get a $1 zillion budget. Black people never got that. Women never got that either. It's like, oh, you got to earn it and do it for a damn decade. And now it's proven, like, you know what, you got somebody good, you support them, it'll work. I would have thought we learned that from The Rock, Jumanji getting close to $1 billion. It's like, give people the tools and they can do it. They don't always have to look like, you know, the next Steven Spielberg. Like, no, just get a good director. They don't, that's always been the biggest thing. It's kind of like they assume only a certain person could do something like this.
Yeah.
Or people overseas only want to see a certain person. Now it's like, no, it's getting blown. Black Panther's all this money and it didn't even come out in China yet.
Is it out like, in Japan yet?
I think it come out of Japan like this week, and it comes out like China either later this week or next week. Like, it's, people wonder, like, is it going to hit $1 billion? It might hit $1 billion by like next week. It's already like in the 700s worldwide.
Not bad for a character that honestly not a lot of people knew before Civil War. So, yes.
And yeah, it's just amazing seeing that and seeing people like still trying to see it, having trouble seeing it, and people like doing fundraisers and stuff to take people to see it and stuff like this. And then you see the pictures like little kids like, oh, I want to be like that. I want to. Now they have their Superman, they have their Batman. It's like, okay, it's gonna be cool. It's like tied to wrestling where it was a whole generation of women that grew up on Trish Stratus, and it's like, oh, I can be that when I grow up. And now it's going to be a generation where I'm like, I can, when I grow up, I can be Sasha Banks, and I can be, or I can be Rousey and actually be successful and be treated like with respect. Now you got a whole generation of kids like, you know what? I can dress up as Black Panther. Everybody knows who Black Panther is. I don't got to explain it to them. And I can feel like I'm a hero. And like that influences people. Those kids that are watching Black Panther might grow up one day and direct the next comic. story or the next movie or whatever like that. Make their own heroes. Because that's kind of how it starts. It's like, you got to have motivation to want to do it. And now a lot of them have it. And that's the real big thing. It's not just the movie is done well and the movie's successful. It's the movie inspires people to add more stuff and do more stuff. Like, I have friends now that's like, oh, I want to read the comic books. They in their 30s and 40s with kids and taxes and never picked up a comic book in their life. And now it's like, I want to read about Black Panther. And then maybe I'll see this. Oh, she's married to Storm. Oh, the X-Men. Maybe I'll read that. Like, that's, and hopefully the nerds will be like, oh, I was with Black Panther since the first time he beat up the Fantastic Four in the 1960s. And here you go all brand new. Like, you ain't no real fan. Like, shut up.
Well, that's going to be like that no matter what. Even going back to wrap the show up, even to go back to wrestling when, pick an indie wrestler right now, like, what the hell, Marty Scurll. And then he gets to WWE, or even the Young Bucks, whatever. Young Bucks a little more popular, but Marty Scurll gets to WWE. You're like, wow, this guy's pretty good. Yeah, I remember seeing him in PWG, and he's, oh, shut up. I don't care. I'm a fan now. I'm making him more money now, by the way. So
yeah, you like the Sami Zayn, but I remember him with El Generico. That's when he had real good matches. You're getting this watered down corporate version. Yeah. I'm like, go eat some nachos, fat boy, and get out my face. No, but to really wrap up, and I don't know, I had talked to you about this whole Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar stuff. I don't know what type of magic Vince McMahon pulled off where it's like, I'm going to turn my locker room to a bunch of communists that act like getting perks or benefits is this evil thing. But hearing Roman Reigns pretend to be Dusty Rhodes, talking about he's fighting for the common man and he's fighting for his friends because he's there on the road all the time and Brock gets an extra lunch break and he don't care. Like, why, if I'm a fan, why should I care? What's that got to do with me? If Brock Lesnar he got a boat and he works four times a year. That's y'all. Get a better lawyer, dummy. Like,
yeah.
Like, seriously, it's not a salary cap in WWE. Oh, they got to cut Sasha Banks because Brock's making too much money. Like, that's irrelevant to me as a fan. Why should I care at all? I can see if I'm a wrestler in WWE, I would feel a certain way or be jealous because that's human nature. If I'm a fan watching this, Roman Reigns sounds like a damn whiny baby. Like, he sounds like a damn idiot. This whole, well, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to say it anyway because it needs to be said. Brock rather be in UFC, hang around with Dana White, than wrestle on a house show and be a catering with Rhino.
Yes.
Damn. Like, so and so and, would I.
And Brock just comes, I mean, he doesn't talk, but just comes out and be like, yeah. Why would I want to hang out with catering when I can go hang out with Dana White, tear up the town, if whatever he does, not get my body beat up, and then also, you know, negotiate a millions of dollar contract. Yeah, there's a significant reason why. But then also, hearing Roman Reigns spout this stuff, looking at him going, you are hand chosen.
Exactly.
And you are not, Brock Lesnar, when he shows up, gets cheered. All the time. You're the guy that's been chosen, and this is going to be his fourth main event in a row?
Mm-hmm.
And it's still going to be a lukewarm reception for you, and on the side of a negative reception, so that when you win, people will cheer that there was a title change, and then they're going to go back and keep booing you. So don't talk about a guy getting benefits or a privilege or he doesn't this when you are the product of that.
I'm like, beside the big man's, he's part of the wrestling world family.
Yes.
Like, who's Roman Reigns to be talking about privilege and chances? You Roman Reigns. It'd be like Peyton Manning complaining about Tom Brady getting benefits. Like, oh, really? Poor Peyton Manning with his brother Eli and his daddy Archie, he never got a fair shot. Like, you make a big deal about The Rock's your cousin. And you came from this family. Like, Nia Jax gets what she gets. The Usos get what they get. You see a Samoan. Like, besides Samoa Joe, because he must be a renegade Samoan, every other Samoan gets a damn benefit. Oh, you know such and such? You got trained by Alpha? We're going to give you a chance. oh, you got a nice hairline. We're going to make you a star. Like, Roman Reigns didn't start from the bottom or from the gutter. It's like, it's Roman Reigns, Mr. Yeah, you got knocked for suspension. We make the jokes, but you're still going to have matches. Yeah, you're going to be in the main event every year, even though, like, maybe the fourth time be the charm. Yeah, we, you know, have you do this match and it didn't work. Have you do this match and it didn't work. Have you beat The Undertaker and it didn't work. We're going to have you beat Brock Lesnar. This ain't going to work, but we're going to keep on doing it because you Roman Reigns and you going to do it. And it's like, after all the stuff that he went through with that whole nonsense with John Cena and John Cena pointing that out, like, you know, you just got here because of your name. You would think, and I know it's just a storyline thing, but that's what bothers me about this. We just had the stuff with John Cena and Roman Reigns with this whole shoot nonsense.
Yeah.
And now we doing it again. And what I'm tired of, they did it with The Rock, with Cena and CM Punk. They did it with John Cena and Reigns. This whole, how dare you make money without us? How dare you be successful and you don't need us? Like, I'm tired of hearing that from people. This whole, why don't you be miserable like me because I can't be happy? Why would I want to cheer? Why would I want to cheer for? Why would I want to cheer for that? I like breaks. I like having sick leave. I like having days off. What numbskull is like, you know what? I got a month of sick. I got a month of vacation time, but I ain't gonna use it because I'm gonna hang out with Leroy from janitorial services because we gonna stand up for the man. Like, I'm gonna be Hoffa. What the hell are we doing? Like, go beat up Brock Lesnar. That's how I cheer you. Stop talking about I'm doing it for the Heath Slaters and Apollos of the world. Yeah. Who gives a damn about them?
And how about keep your name out of drug dealers' mouths too? That'd be another good place to start because. Hit-boy, because there's a possibility he may not even be at WrestleMania. And this is like insider stuff, but listening to, you know, Meltzer, Johnson, all those guys, there's a distinct possibility that they may not have that match. If Brock doesn't do his thing, or if, you know, Roman's got too much possible heat, that's why Braun Strowman, oh, and I've been warned by Kevin that he doesn't want to hear it. He doesn't want to hear me complaining about Braun Strowman's position on the card.
Oh, here's no. You know my thing about Braun Strowman? They did too good a job with him.
Yes.
And I was thinking about that. It's like, I know I'm going to go mad that Braun Strowman's not in that match, but I'm like, do you really want? I'm like, okay, it's not that you don't want that. It's like, if he wins, then what? It's the reason why you don't have babyface monsters. Like, cheering for Godzilla never sounds, it's always seems strange. It's not like Braun Strowman is just this big tough guy. Braun Strowman is doomsday. He's pulling walls down on people. He's flipping over trucks. He tried to get murdered by half the roster and he just came with a garbage truck like, yeah, I'm catch these hands. I saw the Elimination Chamber. He got hit by like 9 finishers and kicked out at, 4 people tried to pin him and he kicked out at 1.
Yeah.
But he's going to win the title, and then somebody going to beat him in a fair fight? How? But they going to shoot him? Like how would Braun Strowman lose a regular match against anybody on the roster? He damn near murdered Brock Lesnar, and Brock Lesnar won in a fluke. And that's Brock Lesnar. He going to wrestle The Miz.
Yeah, that was the rumored match, and I was bitching. I'm like, it's better than Braun The Miz. I mean, it's a 4-second match. And he goes, well, who else is he supposed to fight? And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, like, okay, he gonna defend the title at TLC against Elias. Like, Elias will have to have that guitar from Desperado that had like a rocket launcher in there, and maybe he'll get a 2 count. Like, they booked him in a way where you couldn't see him losing in a match 1-on-1 against anybody.
Yeah,
it's a reason Andre never had. It's a reason why, like, Andre was never champ. Like, Vader was never a babyface. A big super monster that's just better than everybody is champion. That's, yeah, it's like, it's fun till he actually do it. And it's like, who gonna beat him? That's why I'm always kind of like, they're stuck where he's popular, he's over, everybody likes him. But you can't give him the belt, because if you give it to him, he can't lose it.
And that's part of the problem is, like you said, they did too good of a job of building him, because they should have just kept having him go against big faces. Because they eventually start having to go against heels, and maybe if they would have just kept it the same, you know, that people wouldn't have gotten on board with it. But it's hard, but also, and this is the contrast with him and Roman Reigns. this is how Roman should have been built up, I guess. Maybe not doing all these goofy feats of strength and that, but Roman's always going to be crippled by coming in at the time where people were still wanting Daniel Bryan, and he just did. And no one's forgiven him. But I don't know, man. It's such a weird thing, and as a bigger fan of Braun Strowman, and honestly, the real reason is, if the rumored site for WrestleMania is Citibank Field or City Field, whatever it's called, I ain't going to WrestleMania next year. So I don't want to see Braun win the title next year at WrestleMania.
Yeah. Oh, it ain't rumored. I think that's almost basically like set in stone. Yeah, I'm not going next year either. They're talking about having an Jersey.
Oh, where the hell would they have in Jersey? It's a giant stadium. Oh, see, I thought they were gonna do City Field.
They're talking about having giant stadium again. Yeah, no. I went when they had it before, and that was the worst Mania. I'm like, never again. I could see the stadium from my hotel. It still took a damn hour to get there, and it's right across the street.
Still, I've never gone back and watched that one.
It's just one. It was cold. It started raining, and then it's like the main event was John Cena gonna beat The Rock, and The Rock got hold his hand. I'm like, ugh, that whole thing is like, no, I'm not going to Jersey again. That's the last time I had bad memories. But to bring back the whole thing with Braun Strowman, like, it's different. He ain't just like, you know, he's real strong. He pulled a damn electrical wall down on somebody like behind the commando. He's flipping over tractor trailers.
Yes.
He's got to finish this from, Elimination Chamber, he eliminated everybody except for Roman Reigns by himself. They all tried to jump him. It didn't make a difference. You can't have the Juggernaut, it's the reason why the Juggernaut was a villain. You can't have Juggernaut, you can't have him. He can beat six man by himself, but he's going to lose a one-on-one match. Especially if Brock's leaving after Mania anyway. You're going to have Roman Reigns beat him, so everybody can just boo Roman Reigns more. Like, it's funny where they say they can't build a star, and they messed around and they built him too well. It's almost like, you know, what have we done? We wanted to make a monster, and we actually succeeded, and now we failed because we did too good a job. And that's exactly what they did with Braun Strowman, where we can't be the champion because he's too good. People don't want him to lose.
Well, all right, we really should wrap up. But the other part with the Braun Strowman thing is, by turning him face or whatever you want to say, they've softened him up. He's doing all these appearances and stuff. He's doing like this cutesy stuff with the mixed match challenge. That's actually harder to say out loud than you'd think. They've made him so likable as well as being a badass. I mean, I thought it was a cello, but apparently it was a standing bass. Whatever. He was playing it like a guitar for a second, and he smashed it over Elias. I mean, I'm not booing somebody that can do that. That's awesome. That's why Brock Lesnar is so popular. He goes out, beats the pieces out of everybody, and people love it. So, yeah, like you said, they screwed around and created a star. And then, with so many other people, man, they're in a good position if they can get out on it. And let's end it there. We didn't get to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but...
Yeah, I would just say, before we go, one last thing. Kudos to the WWE fans for not allowing this casual racism toward Asians. Because first it was the whole thing when Jinder Mahal was making fun of Shinsuke Nakamura, and the crowd's like, you know, that's too far. And then Alexa Bliss doing her stuff, and the crowd just turned, like, not only, they turned on her hard real fast. And I'm like, you in Anaheim in the stadium that Paul Kariya made famous, you really think you're going to cut some anti-Japanese promo in that part of the country and think that's just going to slide? Like, this is not 85 anymore. And I just laugh because, like, you know, Alexa Bliss is that heel that people boo because they're supposed to, but they really like, and they were kind of cheering in the beginning. As soon as she started doing that Asuka stuff and start talking slow like this is Rush Hour 2, they turn on her fast to the point where she got flustered, like, oh, no, let's calm down. Stuff like, yeah, don't. I'm glad. It's funny thinking, like, you wouldn't think a WWE crowd being a progressive crowd like that. But it's like, yeah, that's... I hope they learned their lesson. They cut this stuff out. Like, don't do it. This ain't Tajiri. This ain't 1985. You're not gonna get the type of attention you want, so don't do it.
Yeah, I didn't mind the. I know your English isn't very good because they've portrayed her as her English is not very good, and then it was the follow up. I'm like, oh, come on, it's like, you should just know better already. But hey, if they want to keep doing this dumb shit, that's their own problem. But all right, kids, that's it. Started with wrestling, ended with wrestling. Yeah, find us on social media, Stunt Granny. You can find us on all your podcast platforms under Stunt Granny. We watch stuff. Jessica Jones actually starts next week, so we can do a little quick review of that if we want next week, and then we'll figure it out. So I'll let Shahid take us out, and I'll get at you next week, gang.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and only handle racism if you're talented enough to do it and make it funny. We are out.